like 7 minutes into the hour. Maybe let's get started. Frank, you want to run the agenda and I'll take notes? This is the first time we actually get together after 10:30. Maybe people have something to say, some in retrospect that would throw light into the future. I mean, just in case. I posted some pictures, as I mentioned.
Okay. So, did anyone else have anything they wanted to add in terms of the postmortem?
This is Jamie. All good, and thank you again to everybody. It was certainly a very helpful for me. But I did want to mention that we'll have to, if you're going to use the OASIS process or really anything like it anywhere else, there are always some deadlines to cope with, and we're going to have to sit down and put out exactly, you know, when you would have the folks who agree that they're going to be the initial group and when they would actually go hard on the final scope statement, which in the case of OASIS goes into a charter, and then there's a public member viewing period, and so, you know, we actually need to sit down and be clear on the calendar about when the first meeting could be, assuming that you're working with OASIS or a group that has significant deadlines. I mean, you know, for us, you know, you've got a member review period for the charter where it gets posted and we have comments, and then it gets finally posted to the public, and then you can't meet for a month after that. So we're already out on the edge to be able to do it in early January. In fact, maybe past early January. We'll need to get back to that, depending on how much longer than the initial NSF meeting this process takes.
Okay, well, first of all, it was my understanding that Howard intended to send the draft charter, as it were, right forward to OASIS today, 16 November. That's why he asked for all comments to be received by last Friday. So that certainly was our target from the workshop, to have the charter ready to go and the scope statement in it. The scope statement, with all due respect, Jay, the wordiness of charters in the OASIS in OASIS land has always puzzled me.
I think it's an artifact that archaeologists will someday come to recognize as the emotional agonies that people go through when they're giving up their foundling baby for adoption, putting it into an open process, and wishing they could constrain things a lot more than they can.
Well, I don't mind constraining. The problem is is simply, I mean, I've noticed this before as I've just gone through a couple of charter reviews on the smart grid side, that these things tend to be, the tutorial on the field followed by the general description of what we're going to do, followed by something that might be recognizable as a scope statement if you can find it in there, et cetera. Right?
Well, just to be really clear, yes, there is no requirement of a cosmology in our rule.
Okay,
I thought we were going to send that forward, and that's obviously the first step, getting it out there in public, and the other piece of that that goes with it is agreeing on what a legitimate date, as Peter said, for the actual first get-together is, assuming this thing gets approved. Right?
As soon as we receive a charter with the minimum number of required members of OASIS and whoever else wants to, because we can always decide to join later, saying we're in, then you will get official feedback from my successor as head of the standards process, Murray McRae, that says, yes, the state works like that.
Right. And the other piece of that is that we did, in fact, take a census, or started to take a census at the meeting of who would be, as you described it, in, right, which OASIS members would commit to supporting this TC. And I'm not sure where we are on that. I assume that Howard was managing all of that.
That's what it sounded like to me, too, but we should probably find out if that's Howard's take.
Right. I wish Howard were here, and I actually am not 100% certain whether today was a date or whether actually Thursday is the date he plans to send it in. I mean, that depends.
It could well be that his intent was to circulate
this week,
final draft today and approve on Thursday.
Right.
From our group, yeah.
Yeah, so for the notes, let's capture that. I believe it's Howard's plan to send the charter over to OASIS this week.
Yeah, this week. Sounds better. Thank you, Peter. Yeah.
And guys, what that tells you, the practical matter also, is the extent you you and I want to bring Howard and other people and Gary Smith and some of the other folks spoke up about, you know, we want to bring the who's on it stuff to fruition at the same time as the final draft.
Right. I mean, there was a list at the end of Howard's draft as to who was going to be on it. The question, the only remaining question, I guess, is that since our Oasis rep is new, the only thing I need to know is what, we presumably have to send forward a letter that accompanies this thing that says we will be, or something like that, that says we will be on it.
I mean, technically, from a rules point of view, if Howard or somebody throws through the door and says, there it is, then the loop of confirming that each of the organizations actually is, in fact, prepared to do it, what the thing said it is a post-submission loop by Mary and us, our team. You don't have to have the affidavits or whatever, you know, phone calls
okay.
Online to say you said it.
Okay, I mean, other organizations that I have worked with require something that is what you should call it, a letter of intent or something like that, but essentially says, you know, we W3C requires us to interact.
You're in Oasis now.
Okay. Howard is on.
I can hear him. Howard. Yes, hi, Howard.
Sorry about that. I have trouble getting through to you guys.
Okay, you're in now.
Got some strange phone numbers. However.
All right, well, we were just discussing what the actual... Jamie's on, and we were just discussing the actual plan for how we proceed here following.
I have one set of comments from you, Ed. I'm hoping to get to those tomorrow to put out a new version of the charter. If anybody else has any comments, I'm probably open till close of business for anyone who's on the call today, really, because I'll deal with them in the morning.
Yeah, I my comments were channeled through Ed already. So,
well,
did I capture them correctly, Peter? That's the other question.
He hasn't read them either.
Yeah. Okay.
I may say we're talking about two things. One is bringing the text to a completion. The other is bringing the list of folks who've raised their hand to completion. And on the text, it sounds like you have a plan. And something that will yield a draft that people can look at for the Thursday meeting, which we talked about in a moment. For the people, I'm thinking this might be time, once I have a copy of your turnaround tomorrow in hand, even acknowledging that it's not final, that it'll be on the public side of the wiki, it's time for me to send off some notes, pointing to that URI, copying to those various people who, like Jim Terry-Smith, for example, who said we're probably in, and just confirming, okay, we're, contemplating sending something that says that you're going to be in fairly soon. Let's hear from you. Even though, as we discussed, it is not required that we receive any particular sort of affirmation. You know, if any person in their individual capacity sends the text of their charter and submitted and it claims to have the right number of people on it, you know, essentially the business of checking to see that they're all in fact agreed is a post, not a pre-submission event for us. So I might get off with those phones. I might send off a bunch of those GMS 2000 ones that I've got a URI to point to, Howard, if that makes sense to you. I don't know.
That's fine.
All right.
This is Frank Holkin. I think I can sign on behalf of LBL, but I haven't checked with people back there. I'll be back in Berkeley next week.
Shouldn't be a problem.
The question is, we were sort of putting words in your mouth. Is your plan to send the charter into, let's say, Jamie this week?
My plan would be to take Ed's and any other comments I get, like close of business today, update them on the wiki before noon tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And then you can take it from there to get to do, I think, I would suggest a circulation, a message saying to people to confirm that they are willing to support this. And then we should see that and check it on Thursday and then pass it off to Jamie.
Okay, so we sort of do a community adoption on Thursday and then after that, sort of is officially adopted at least by the five or six people, five plus people. Then it goes to Jamie after Thursday. would that be the plan?
Well, effectively, it's agreed to by the set of people whose names are going to go on as participating.
Okay, yeah.
All right. And obviously anybody who wants to participate and finds it wanting will send some sort of comment forward that says, you know, my name doesn't go on this unless.
And indeed, they can go on and edit it to put their name on or take it off.
Yeah, and if they say, basically, Oasis will give them the second bite of that apple. So that's why I'm saying, I just get a note out that says, we're thinking about putting it on this thing. Here's the pointer to the draft. Give us the email. Unless there's plenty of chance for them to correct it. We don't publish to the public unless we know that they've all said yes. But that's, again, post the official submission date. And Howard, the one piece you didn't hear at the beginning was that we're trying to manage the submission date to make sure you can get the meeting date you want because there's a minimum deadline between the two.
Okay, yes. So yes. Are we saying that you'd like to kick this round Oasis in parallel with our internal adoption? Whatever internal means in this case. Because that's the other option. Does it mean do we send it to you in draft tomorrow or Friday?
Well, I think there's no difference between sending it tomorrow or Friday.
The question is, do we want to look at it round this forum and agree it before we send it to Jamie, or just let it escape anyway?
Well, not to be an idiot about this, but it's already accessible to the United States, the world, Oasis, anyone else who cares to read the web. So.
Right.
That might be less of an issue than you think.
Okay, so but I'm having trouble finding this thing. Oh, I see. Okay. So I'm getting organized. Draft? Charter draft?
Well, bear in mind, Howard's doing the final edit tonight.
Right.
So it will be on the public wiki as the revised version. Tomorrow.
Right, but Ed's comments are on the email that he... Did you send the email to the whole list? I believe you did, right?
I sent it to the admin list, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so Frank, if you look back on something Ed sent, he marked up the page with the sort of Acrobat comments annotation.
I made PDF from the page. That was Acrobat.
Yeah. And so you can look at his comments as well if you can't wait until Howard sort of marks up the next, I guess, final draft tomorrow.
Well, my comments are only comments. I mean, you know, Howard's draft will incorporate comments from others and where there are conflicts.
I haven't got any comments from others.
Oh, okay. Well, I only have from Peter when he discovers that I didn't faithfully carry his issues.
Well, it's one take the opportunity to add a number of items that, as I had recorded at the meeting, so hopefully that's what you edited against. That was done very quickly after the meeting, so it should be okay.
Yeah, the only it's not even my wish, but I was recording that we did adopt making Cliff normative and everything else, including R2, DL, and UML informative.
I did mark that, Peter.
Yes,
I'm
yes,
sure
right.
That
you did.
Right,
you,
I did mark
yeah.
That.
And I believe, Howard, you had all three sort of normative.
Yeah, we had one. I thought what we had agreed was that the Cliff would be the reference normative one. The others can be normative, but they are subservient to Cliff.
Right. The word I used was derived, yeah.
Okay. I mean, that,
oh, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great.
That's an interesting terminology between Oasis and W3C. Just an aside remark.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, the W3C usage, you would say that one was normative and the others weren't, rather than that they were all normative, one was more normative than the other, so to speak.
So I mean, I guess the reference normative is the keyword.
Yeah, the notion of reference normative is new one to me. It's a good one, though.
Yeah.
Having said that, there is, in fact, anyway, it's a DC process, including Section 218, that says that there are certain things in spec that are noted to be normative and others that aren't, and it behooves you to tell the difference. So there is, that concept does carry through. It also affects the IPR, because the IPR obligation of a contributor, including in somewhat more patent-related areas than this, arguably, extends to the normative parts. If there's, cosmology, to borrow from a prior conversation, it doesn't necessarily trigger any IPR argument, nor need it. So there's a tremendous benefit and an incentive within the rules to making sure that you are clear about what's normative and what's not.
So that's a traditional standards activity, thing, of distinguishing between the normative, definitive, and informative parts of a specification. Those are ISO words, but that's which are the ones I'm used to. But nonetheless, those ideas exist generally. A definitive part is what we mean by this term, which of course affects what the normative impact of the term is. So that sort of sits halfway between. An informative is text that is simply there to help you understand the standard, but is not part of the normative text.
It's explanatory text. I think the OWL definitions are more firm than that.
Certainly those are normative. Even the documentary, the annotations in the OWL are going to be, will certainly be normative. So, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, in that sense,
some way of making that clear. But I think the intent is that the OWL stuff should be normative.
Right. I mean, I think this is great. I mean, that's why my comment actually wasn't so much what you put in, but rather that wasn't exactly what was typed out on, I think, Steve Ray. I specifically says, would someone type that out, and Steve says, I've already typed it out on the notes. And his notes sort of had normative versus informative rather than reference normative versus normative.
With respect, guys, just so we put our drafting into perspective, you're going to send this out. It's going to be subject to comment once it's adequate. Other people will comment, so this isn't the end of the inquiry, is it?
No. Ed, Howard, this is Frank Olkin. I'm somewhat concerned as to whether OWLDL and UML especially are going to be expressive enough to be appropriate for normative. I'm concerned that we may lose some of the semantics in going to OWLDL and to...
Well, of course we will. I mean, or at least we expect that we might. It seems to me that we had written some words to that effect. I can take another look at that and make sure that...
Well, you almost certainly will.
Go ahead, I'll wait.
Okay, fine. We found a very clear case last week at the Rotterdam SC4 meeting. People were saying, let's use OWL for product modeling. By the end of the week, it was absolutely clear that we couldn't, because we couldn't do everything we needed to do. But it was great for doing a top lawyer level ontological view of down to a certain level of detail.
Yes, exactly.
More to the point for our media problem, my memory from last week, from the meetings we had, was rather clearly that the group had decided it was going to use CLIS as the thing against which conformance is measured, which I would normally think of as normative, and that it would be expected that some of these other representations, including OWLDL, would be something used in production, and that there would be reliable knockoffs, but not necessarily complete, whole, bilateral, replicable knockoffs from the CLIS model, which was going to be the ultimate authority. Now, how you say that in words, I don't know, but that's what I thought I heard. Did I hear right?
Yes.
That's what I thought I heard also, which would make the CLIS normative and the other ones informative.
Not necessarily informative. What the issue here is that the problem with making them informative is that there is no reference OWL model. There's no OWL standard. There's no standard OWL form. You make it informative, it says, this is what we like.
Okay?
That's what you don't want to do. You want to actually say, if you're going to do it in OWL, you do it this way. Okay? So that's a normative reference. The trick is it's derived. It's what Pat described is the mechanism for conformance the mechanism for conformance, the reference specification is the cliff specification. That carries all of the ontological meaning. The owl carries some of that, does not contradict that, it carries some of that ontological meaning to the extent that owl DL can. Okay? Or to the extent that we're willing to twist owl DL to it, which is a slightly different fact. Okay?
But it's still normative, right?
But it's still normative.
It's
just, it says it's a derived form. Right, I think that's what I was looking for, is that it would have to be a derived form. This is a normative form. It's the normative form for the owl version. Okay? And it's not different from the other. It's just less. If necessary, it's less. That was the thought.
Okay.
Right? And the UML version is even walk further down. Right?
Guys, that's a suggestion. First of all, what you're actually talking about is that there's one normative model, but several normative expressions of it.
Yes. That's right.
And another verb I'm going to mention in the case of peaceful is that what I understand you to be saying, actually, is this owl DL, for example, there will be a normative model in Cliff, and there will be normative representations of that model in, for example, owl DL, so by virtue of a prescribed method for transforming. So everybody's free to go to DL their own way. There's going to be a right way.
That's a little ambitious.
Yeah, I don't think, Jamie, there's going to be a prescribed method for transformation.
Okay.
Right. So let's stop that.
There will be a prescribed transformation.
A prescribed representation of the subset?
Right, yes.
Okay, just looking for words here.
Okay, so works.
Yes.
Works
right.
For me quite well because we are talking representations here.
Right.
That's fine.
Yeah, so I capture that. And shall I also capture that what how it has on the graph now looks great and does express what we really want.
It's close enough.
Yeah. Or at least close enough.
Close enough for government work.
Good enough. It's good for all the engineers. But if you refresh, I have this under under 240C, purple number 240C, the Charlie. I guess we better move on to the next item, which is the key item for this call. Because once we tie down an agenda, I'll put out the page and then I'll announce it to make sure we've got the community properly informed and come join us.
Peter, before we move on, can I ask just a general question? I'm reading this, I apologize for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm slightly surprised that it sort of central emphasis on units and dimensions. That's a slightly different kind of focus than the one I guess I had been assuming that we had. It seems like focusing on a particular sub-area of the overall shape of the ontology as I envisioned it. Have I just been wrong about that, or should this topic be indeed the focus, this particular one of converting units and with the metric SI system right there at the center?
Would
it be our main goal?
Are you looking at the wiki page that says URL?
I'm looking at the proposed OASIS charter draft.
Draft. Are you looking at the ones on the wiki, or are you looking at the PDF?
I got to it from clicking on the attachment in the email from Ed.
So this is the one with all the markup and everything. So
yes, right.
Maybe Ed, you will be in the best position to sort of explain maybe to sort of to see
just what was going on there, Peter.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, Pat, could you do repeat your...
I could, yeah, right. In reading the draft, I was struck by the initial emphasis in 1B on specifically units and conversions between units and difficulties over determining dimensions of units. Obviously, that is one of the things we were talking about, but it seemed to me that it wasn't, in some sense, the central focus of the effort, that it was like, that was an aspect, and it had many other aspects. I wondered if that impression of generality that I did cause me to be surprised at this emphasis was a mistake. Should we indeed be focusing hard on conversions between measurements, dimensional issues, and the SI system as being like the focus of the effort, or is it a broader effort?
From what I recall of the discussion, there was a general feeling that we wanted to focus on the SI stuff first, and then provide the necessary tools for extension. So we had something manageable. Is that other people's interpretation?
May I say something?
Yes.
Okay, Peter here. If you ask me, I think the chief goal of the whole exercise is ontology-based standard as opposed to natural language-based standard. So we're moving, hopefully, I mean, this is the beginning of the whole movement of moving just natural language-based standard into standards that are expressed both in natural language and as an ontology. So this is just picked as sort of a low-hanging fruit, and if we achieve at the end of the day that we will be a first-class citizen in terms of the standard, I mean, sitting alongside the people who define the SI units, we would have achieved much. I mean, we would have done everything we wanted to do. That's also one of the reasons why I was saying, I mean, let's stick very much to the Vim so that, I mean, we don't sort of make it too turbulent for the BIP PM people to accept this ontology as a first-class citizen. That's where I come from.
I understand that. I thought Pat's complaint was, I'm trying to find the area in 1B that Pat is really worried about.
It's a paragraph that says, it is therefore proposed to develop ontology to specify at least the various space dimension units of the SI metric system, the various metric scale factors, metric deriving, constructing, yada, 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 joules, watts, and then a small number of non-metric base units. Yeah. I know the tone of that is, we're going to do the SI system and maybe a few bits on the edge. And I was rather startled when I read that. I hadn't realized that our focus was that.
Yeah, and in fact, I see what you mean now, because later on when we come down to the scope, the first things in the scope are a model of quantities and quantity concepts and so on. The measurement units start showing up long about the third bullet in the scope list. Right? Because we talk about it as units of measure, but it's quantities and the first step is quantities. Is that what?
Yes, exactly. There seems to be a mismatch between those two ways of expressing how our goal is.
Yeah, I understand. Now I understand. Yeah, that's certainly, I didn't address that, but that is an important part, because if you look at the scope one down below, which is, I'm trying to figure out where I put that markup. It was, oddly enough, there was a more or less empty section of the standard into which I put that. I suggested, by the way, that we reduce a paragraph up above, but that's not the one.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out, I think it's, which one of these is the scope? Last in that one. I thought I had that one open.
I think
it's one of the problems with Adobe and its little thingies is if you can't see them until you... here it is. It's in the middle of the one that begins the word shall include. Right? And the first thing there is basic quantities, and the second one is systems of quantities, dimensions-based quantities, and derived quantities, and then systems of units, and finally the SI-based units, et cetera, et cetera. So you get the D before you get the SI-based units. And that was the whole point. The first idea is the basic quantity. The mention concepts program, which is what I originally had, and then took it out because that's stated later. Systems of quantities, systems of quantities, systems of units, base and derived units, and then the SI base units. And so that's what the scope really is, which is down below in the 50,000. And the problem is that we probably don't want that paragraph to begin with just the units of measure, right? That's what your point is, Pat.
Well, my point was just to get my own head clear as to what was intended
right.
here. I think you reassured me. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I do believe that it's probably true that paragraph that says it is therefore proposed to develop an ontology which would specify at least the principal concepts of quantity and the various demand, right, the basic concepts of quantity and units of measure and the base dimensions and units of the SI system, et cetera.
Speaking right now, would you be so kind to sort of shoot up the flag when you feel that thread's done? I wanted to make a comment or two, but I can't quite tell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll shut up. I've got to go, by the way, Peter. So I'll be back on Thursday when we do that. I will contribute by email otherwise.
Okay, on the before you leave, on that particular point, will you sort of adjust the draft a little bit and get that into Howard? He's still accepting input before tonight.
Howard is on. He understands, doesn't he? You'll be
to some extent. If you want to provide some text, that would always be helpful.
Okay. I can add one more sticky note and send it out. But it'll be later today.
All right.
I'm not going to do it till tomorrow morning UK time.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, great.
Good day, gentlemen.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peter, I'm not good enough to recognize the name. Who is the gentleman who just left with his strong opinions?
Ed Bauermeier.
That's Ed, okay.
Is that Jamie?
It is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was Ed.
Don't know the voices yet. If I may, it strikes me that what I heard at your meeting was the following. The first and core task for your scope is to create, using the representations we were describing a minute ago, a system for representation of SI units. A second mandatory task was the specification of an extension mechanism that permits derivation of things that are wholly from SI. And that's mandatory. A third, further, but perhaps optional to this committee, task. You put before them and say, you know, go there if you can, make your decision later, is to further extend the representation system so that metabolizes things that at least at first glance purport to not be fully footed to SI. And a final task, which is, I believe you said mandatory, but abstract, is what Peter said, which is to do all this using methods that are susceptible of being reused for other fields where we want to move from a natural language representation to an ontologic representation. Okay, that's my restatement of what I thought I heard, so I'm throwing it out there for whatever value it has.
What was the last statement?
A constraint on the work, which is not a piece of the scope, but rather a constraint on the scope. A constraint on the scope is the methodology used to create the representations and the rules for walking across representations and the choice of tools and so forth should be done in a way that doesn't just work for SI units and extensions, but rather is the process and methodologies are designed so it's reusable for other standards projects where we are moving from the natural language description being definitive to the ontologic description being definitive. It is essentially a process and methods constraint that attempts to make this committee a prototype for future similar work outside of units of measure. Peter, how did I do on that last?
Oh, great. I mean, absolutely. I mean, except for the fact that, I mean, we are not trying to replace, but rather want to be a first-class citizen sitting side by side along natural language. So I mean that is great. I mean, can you sort of capture that and send it into the mailing list? Because at least I mean that would provide also some text to Howard to consider.
Yeah, I was taking notes there and saying the scope was setting up a representation for expressing quantities in SI units with extension to permit the use of derived units and then other units as beyond that, which I think captures what we're saying.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry to be the raining on the parade here, but this is exactly what was worrying me. This seems like a strange combination now of far too narrow a scoped topic. Just SI units and maybe a little more. But far too general and grand a goal, which is to come up, as I understand it, with some sort of general methodology for converting natural language statements into formalized or something like that. And I have absolutely no idea how to do that. That's rather like saying we're going to get a general theory of physics or something.
Where are we talking? Isn't it natural language here?
English.
I'll wait my turn.
Go ahead. And that's what I heard.
Howard, you described your knockoff of what I said. You caught the first three things, and the gentleman is talking about the fourth.
That's now, Pat Hayes.
Pat talks about the fourth, which is the question of whether we can do anything in the course of this project that is replicable and is more generally suitable for use in other standardizations around ontological material versus natural language. And so let me come back and say to Pat, you're right. We can't boil that ocean. Don't propose to. Let me try and make it a different kind of constraint, which might not be something that would be in a charter. I'm trying to give voice to what Peter said. So Peter is the owner of this and can correct me. But I've heard it from several of the others of you also at the meeting. And that is, if the committee, in doing the things that are within scope, is faced with a choice of methods in terms of how it handles models, how it handles tools, how it handles transforms, how it chooses to canonicalize the representation in a DL language of something that comes from Cliff, et cetera, et cetera. If it has choices, it should err on the side of the choice that would more broadly prototype use that methodology in other areas outside of SI. That's not to say it should write an instruction booklet or dictate transform methodologies or modeling methodologies generally. Just to say that if you're going to use a method, use one that generally promotes the project of using ontological representations as the normative device and might be something we could use or adapt again somewhere else. Okay, if you don't mind, I'd like to go over to Peter now because I'm really voicing his thoughts and see if I'm getting his ideas correctly or not.
I think you did get it correctly, except that, I mean, to ease Pat's concern, I sort of qualified my statement as saying that this is sort of a low-hanging fruit example of what could be done rather than trying to sort of have this grandiose goal at this point. Would that work?
Okay, if I ignore the grandiose part, which I think we all agree we should not get too grandiose, then what's left is that we're focusing on the SI units, right?
Yes, exactly.
But this is far too narrow a scope. I mean, I thought we were creating an ontology of quantities and measurements and systems of units as a sort of general ontology, not specifically axiomatizing the SI system, which after all has already been done by other people many times before. Or several times before, perhaps.
But none has achieved sort of the recognition as a first-class citizen alongside the VIM, which I think could be one thing we can achieve because of all the people we have gathered into this group.
But Peter, by mentioning the VIN, it seems to me you're making my point. I mean, the VIN does not simply concern itself with the SI system. It has incorporated in it a whole lot of very general concepts about, you know, the nature of them, you know, types of quantity and so forth. These are not SI specific, right? They're a general ontology.
I wasn't quite narrowed myself down to SI as much as I was referring to the VIM all along.
But that's my concern with the charter, is that it specifically focuses on the SI system to almost exclusion of everything else.
I thought that the what we had discussed, and I haven't got my notes immediately to hand for some reason, was that we needed to start somewhere with the underlying with SI and build in the ability to support alternate systems of units and scales, and there was another list of items there which I think I embedded further down the chart.
Okay, but then I disagree because I don't think that's going to work. If we build something focusing on the SI system, we will build something which won't generalize. The right way to do it is to start with a general theory, you know, one that's, a general axiomatization, one that's obviously informed by many examples, and then apply it to the SI system as a way of showing that it works, or discovering that it doesn't and fixing it, of course. But if we don't have a general framework, I don't think we won't get to success by starting with something concrete, doing it in detail, and then saying, now, how do we generalize this? Because we won't be able to generalize it, because we'll have built-in assumptions that are too specific. And, you know, there already are standards that have done this.
To ease your concern, I mean, if we sort of go light on SI and focus around the VIM, would that be okay, or would that be too broad?
Yeah, that would be exactly what I thought we were doing.
I think that was also the center of the discussion at NSF too. So I think we are actually all agreeing, except for maybe the fine prints.
And I should say, let me say just as a quick comment here, so we can make progress. I don't particularly mind what the wording is, as long as we ourselves are in kind of mutual agreement that we're doing. And I get the sense that we largely are, actually. So.
Well, I think what I recorded in 1D was what I think we said at the meeting.
Yes, right, and. You know,
bits don't reflect that is because they were largely cut and pasted from the April workshop.
Ah, okay.
So if the general feeling is that 1D is what we're trying to do, then we need to do a bit of engineering further up.
Yeah, okay. Certainly, I mean, 1D is great, so that's exactly, that's where I thought we were at. And I was worried because the earlier stuff seemed to be a slight difference there.
Because it didn't get edited so extensively after the meeting.
Okay.
Because I was naively hoping that the rest of you would chuck eggs at it.
How about this? I mean, if there are particular sort of little wording that would totally ease your concern, I would assume it's probably somewhere in 1B that you want to adjust, send the input over to Pat, could you send the input over to Howard sometime today?
Yeah, sometime today, I could do it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
if
we're broadly happy with 1D, then it looks as though we probably need to say a little bit less in 1B and 1C. And
yep,
just align it with
everybody
comfortable with that?
Sounds good.
And I like Jamie's words as well, so we'll try and build those in.
Yes, sorry to hold that stepping up. Thanks very much, of course.
Okay. What else were we?
Peter was moving on to a new agenda item, I think.
Frank is running the show. But I guess we should move on and sort of talk about what we want to do on this Thursday.
Well, hopefully we need to clear out the and agree amongst ourselves the charter, so that can be kicked off.
Okay. All right. First of all, since I guess Howard, you will be proposing the charter and maybe managing. Maybe Frank, you want to? Can you chair the Thursday meeting?
I believe so.
All right. Frank to chair, and since Howard would be the steward of the proposed charter, the agenda will be to agree on the charter, and what else?
Well, I think the second item, we could do it in either order, but probably the second item should be a discussion of the schedule to get onto the OASIS agenda and when the first meeting, official meeting, might be possible.
All right. So discussion of an OASIS schedule, including adopting a date for the first meeting.
Right. And then I think the third part we need to start talking about the draft. The draft of the standard. I mean, what documents are we going to work from, and how are we going to proceed on the drafting process?
Mm-hmm. So review progress of all draft. Right?
Yeah, well, but we may need to revisit the question of process. We're going to have to.
All right.
And we're probably also going to need to begin to discuss who might be available for the serious editorial work that's going to be required.
But
I think we talked about that some.
We've pretty much got, I mean, in terms of who's working, we've pretty much got that. And if it's the TC, then I think that belongs to the agenda of the first TC meeting.
Okay.
Would that be the case? Maybe Jamie can enlighten us.
Peter, I wasn't sure. I detected the question behind the reference there.
So again, I mean, we're working on what we put on the agenda for this Thursday. So I have number one is get agreement on the charter. So which means Howard would present the charter first, and then we maybe have a little bit of feedback Q&A type thing, and then some agreement to be established. And secondly is to discuss an OASIS schedule, work out an OASIS schedule, and then and that would specifically include adopting a date for this first OASIS TC meeting.
Right.
The number three would be review progress of all working drafts, I mean, which includes the four things that we have broken down before. That would be an English draft, a Cliff draft, an OWL draft, and a UML draft. I guess that's sort of a work in progress report by the four champions, or four groups of champions. And then a general discussion, I guess.
I'm going to drop out of the call for about 2 minutes, and I'll be right back.
All right.
It's Pat Hayes.
Does that look good enough for the agenda?
I can't think of anything else. In fact, depending on how far we go with tolerating last minute pleas for more of what one of our colleagues called cosmology, the charter item alone could be painfully lengthy. I don't know that quite crammed up for anyway.
I guess, I mean, since we've worked so much on the charter already, I assume, and then I at least I hope, I mean, there's not a lot of wordsmithing or anything by that point. It's more like rubber stamping, hopefully.
What you probably need to do is ensure that once it goes up, we send a message around saying it's there,
mm-hmm.
and we get any comments in advance, and we can deal with them appropriately.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we definitely want to post that before Thursday in Howard. I will defer to you to post that, not just to the admin list, but to the UOM standard, ontology standard list, I mean the wider community list.
UOM ontology standard, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, pass back.
Okay. So,
okay, I think we settled on the agenda.
Right.
What else are we doing today?
What else? Let me stay first and let's let everyone refresh their page and take a look under 23YC or 23Y9.
23YT?
Y9.
23Y9.
I'm just
going to
find these things.
Purple numbers.
Yeah, the purple numbers.
I'm going to look at the damn thing.
Yeah, do a control F. I mean, which is fine on page, I mean, if you have the right browser, and then type.
They don't represent in the text. It's a noble attempt to mutate past paragraph numbers.
I see.
Yeah, do a control F and then do it and search for 23Y9. That would take you right there.
Not fine. I think I'm on the wrong page.
I'm talking about a getting organized page.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Are we going to do a review of the draft standards at this point?
Ed is gone. Rob, Chip, and Hans Peter are not here. David Leo is not here. So if Pat Hayes has an update, I mean, we will. If not, we don't.
Not really, I'm afraid.
Okay, then let's defer that to Thursday. Also, on the Howard, since you will be the person, the convener of the TC, I assume you will sort of lead the discussion on item two as well, with Jamie sort of at hand to not just if we got out of sync with the
Oasis. Sounds like I've got to read my Oasis procedures again. It's a long time since I launched an Oasis TC. Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Peter, are you going to put the draft agenda onto the conference call page for 11/9?
Right, right. After this call, maybe sometime later today, and then I'll make an announcement so that everyone would know as well. I mean, and it would register to come join us. All right. So I guess the next thing is, I'm confirming an Oasis TC date. As the original Howard proposal was January 15th, which turns out to be a Friday, and I propose that we make that January 14th, which is and use a regular Ontolog event slot for that call. And of course, I mean, this is more an Oasis call than an Ontolog call, but there's no reason why it couldn't take that slot, I mean, from the Ontolog standpoint, comments.
Jamie, as I said, the exact setting of the date will be a legislative event, but I see no reason that they're putting that date in as your intended date, subject to the fact that it's going to be messed around with, depending on when you have the final charter submitted, when it is clear that all the people who said they are going to be supporters are in fact supporters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a process that we go through, and that process will govern the time, because at the end of a process we have a hard stop that says you have to have final charter printed and posted in public for 30 days prior to the meeting, assuming that's a telephonic, which is what I take would be the case. If you want to know how that works precisely, it is in the publicly posted Oasis TC process rules. Typically, it is in Rule 2.2, Section 2.2 of the Oasis TC process, which essentially says you give us a charter. Within the we acknowledge the charter within 5 days, having confirmed the valid of the rule. We send it to our members. The members get 14 days to look at it, to have any comments they may care to have of the draft. There is then a meeting to make sure that those, any changes are known to the TC administrator at Oasis. Amendments are possible from the submitters through the end of that time. And then at the end of that period of time, which could be between 14 and 28 days, the official posting is made by Oasis of the receipt proposal, which has been verified, which has been subject to that member review process. And then on that posting day, should that day be the 14th of December, well, then you can get 30 days from that. You can have the 14th of January. Right? So there's a series of things that have to occur. I encourage you to look at 2.2. But there's nothing on earth wrong with saying the date we'd like to have is that.
Right, and at least if we say that this is our target for now, that sort of sits well both with the group here and with Oasis, because we are not sort of trying to strain the deadlines or things like that.
Well, let me be clear. We're already close to straining them. It is, as I speak, less than 2 months until the 15th. So if you were to have a public comment period that takes 28 days plus 30 days, you're right about there.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, look, there's nothing wrong with saying bracket January 14th, close bracket, and see what you get. And you'd want to have the proposers, people who are signing up as the official sponsors, involved in a conversation about setting the final date once you see where you are on the calendar. And maybe you end up saying, well, we have a sort of a preference for Thursday afternoon, so if we can't do it on the 14th, we do it on the 21st, something like that. But that's literally a premature chatting moment.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that gets back to I mean, I actually meant to say this. The fact that we are submitting the charter this week as how it sort of plans, and Frank saying that you probably won't confirm until next week when you get back to Berkeley, how do we mitigate that?
If I may, I don't think you have to, because if Howard sends, I propose to take the Finity process tomorrow and send a bunch of informal notes to people saying, you know, we think you're in on this thing. You know, give us a yell. If we then don't hear from them and your Thursday meeting this week results in an agreement on a final charter, then how it can depend is with those people's names, and start holding the time period, knowing full well that we will go and do the diligence after that and, you know, make sure that we know who all has signed up for what and the promise.
All right. So if due diligence can be done after we submit the charter, then I think we're all clear.
Yep,
and not before. So it looks like question.
The other thing I noticed about the draft is that neither me nor my organization appears in it anywhere, which is fair enough because none of the rest are members of OASIS. Is that of any significance in any kind of our future deliberations? I mean, should my name be on it in order for this to be me to be involved, or if not, then forget about it. But if it does, what can be done about getting it on there? I just don't know what the rules are.
Oh, well, anybody who thinks they're going to join and be a part of it should put their name in and say, I expect to join between now and then we'll listen. They won't count as part of the minimum number of members, but it's completely supported to put other organizations in there
who are intended
to get in on the activity.
Okay, so getting in on activity, joining OASIS, are they necessarily related?
They are completely related, because if you're not a member, you're not bound by the RFR terms that keep us from having to worry about whether you've got a patent in your pocket, so to speak. Now, we had some chat at the end of the last meeting, informally, which I won't go into in detail in a public section, about how one might find ways of getting sponsored to pay the rather ridiculously small amount of money that it takes to get in as an individual member OASIS. So knowing our prices and knowing also that there's some informal activity to make sure that people can be sponsored, I'm personally not at all worried that anybody could be seeing an economic obstacle here. It would be rude to say more about what sorts of informal arrangements were described at the end of the last meeting privately at this time, because I don't think the people involved had planned to go public with it.
Okay, so first of all, let's defer the funding discussion, which is the next agenda item. But let me ask Jamie a question. If on the charter, I mean, do all the names that show up on the charter have to be some sort of OASIS member by the time we submit the charter, or if the intent is there that they will join before the TC is properly chartered, would that be okay?
The latter is correct.
All right. Okay. Then we should...
We have people bring new projects all the time. I think we have to be able to support that.
Right, right. Okay. Then may I suggest for Howard to add Pat's name as well as everyone we have identified as champions for the draft. I mean, at least the four groups of people. I mean, mainly...
Right, that certainly seems like a wise choice.
Right, right. Plus all the other folks who are involved. But we definitely want Pat. Ed is already on there. We want, like, Rob Raskin, Chip Masters, and Hans Peter, and David Leo, and so on.
Let's see who we've got at the moment, because I can take notes of that.
Right. I guess if you check it against the four champions. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. And possibly, I don't know if I mean, I wish Joel Bender is here.
I'm actually here.
Oh, you are?
Just keeping my head down.
Okay. Great. Great, Joel. Will you be with the group, moving on to, yes, okay, we definitely want Joe Bender there as well.
And it's my intent to figure out how to become a member.
All right.
There's a bunch of different ways to do that, and I just have to figure out the most appropriate one. But yes, it's my intent to be a member by the time the TC is won. So.
Then maybe Howard, I mean, as a suggestion, I actually would love to see Gunter Shadow on there until he says he doesn't want to. Because I think
I don't have an affiliation details for him. Because, I mean, a number of you, as Jamie has suggested, need to go down there as prospective members intending to join if the TC is formed. Is that the category for him?
Maybe some people like the way you have Peter Yim, you can just put Peter Yim on there, because I assume all the other names you put down are actually corporate members of Oasis. So before we know otherwise, let's just put the names.
Cooper is for Indiana, right?
Yeah. And he can wear one of like three different hats. I mean, I don't even know which hat he would wear and whether any one of them are Oasis members.
They might well, actually, one way or another.
Right, but I'm concerned that he is a sort of has a somewhat typical role to look in the health and medical sector, and I don't want to miss the opportunity. So actually, if you go onto the expected attendee list for this meeting, and if all the names on there are on your list, that probably would be it. And if you click on each of the names, it will probably tell you something about where they come from. I guess everyone except Jamie, although let's ask Jamie. Jamie, you want to be part of this, or you want to be on the sideline just providing guidance?
I'm a rep. I'm a rep. I can't be a player.
Okay, you can't be a player. So stay as the rep and guide us then. So everyone on today's sort of attendee list, and plus the regrets people, people who send in the regrets, except for Jamie, I guess.
Well, as I say, when we circulate it round, I'll ask people to check the list, and if they're not there and feel they should be, they should add themselves. If they're there and feel they shouldn't be, they can take them off.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I assume, I mean, since only Pat is here, can we assume that we will have some slides for each of the drafting group and maybe one I don't know, Joel, I guess maybe from the project progress side, we will defer to after this meeting, because I mean we'll have a discussion on the schedule anyway.
Yep.
We'll take the results from this rather than having a presentation. But I will circulate and ask that Ed and Pat and the OWL people and David to see if they have any update slides, anywhere from one to maybe five slides. That's all I have for the agenda. Back to Frank.
Yeah, does anyone... I have to unmute myself here. Does anyone else have anything else that needs discussing today?
There's funding. I mean, I don't have anything to discuss, but I wanted to post everyone that I am planning to have the conversation with Jerry Smith and Ed Bachmeyer who, and if you guys remember, Ed did make a statement saying between NIST and then Jerry also made the comment to me and DISA, they could probably fund people in some way. So I would suggest, I mean, although we don't have a lot of people on, I wish everyone is on this call, if they are on their own, I mean, if they're not funded sort of by their employer, that they check in with me so at least I can collect, I mean, who wants funding and then start to run these, run some numbers by NIST and DISA.
I assume, Peter, you're just talking about funding for the membership dues to OASIS.
I have no idea yet. I have not had the conversation, except the offers to that they have opened years. So since I don't know, I mean, maybe three of us need support, maybe eight of us need support. I'm trying to sort of answer that later question for now, and then start the discussion. To answer your question specifically, I assume I would not just be asking for membership dues, but also would be asking for maybe travel or might be even time spent on working on, let's say, drafting the standards or something.
Peter?
Yes?
If I can, we don't know yet. I mean, that the latter thing you made is extremely ambitious in light of what I heard from the folks who did indicate some interest in seeing how they could help. So I'd be cautious. And I think at this point, all that's really happening is Peter is undertaking to go see what might be possible.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the only commitment is I'm going to go see what would be possible for some. I mean, and also, I mean, for some of the core people, not everyone on the TC definitely, but people we have identified, I mean, as making major contribution to the standard, either by drafting it or maybe contributing a huge piece that we are going to adapt into the standard.
And Peter?
Yes.
I went looking for John Stokel here at NSF, and he's out on our medical leave.
Oh, he is. Oh. All right.
That's why we haven't been able to find him.
Mm. Okay, that's all I have about the funding issue. I wouldn't even document this on the notes, but for those who are here, you heard me. And if I have not had a chance to talk to you, please drop me a note.
Okay. I think that if I don't hear anything else, I think we should call this teleconference to a close.
All right, and
I would like to talk to Pat Hayes.
Okay,
I'm still here.
All right, let's close off this conference call and then maybe Pat can call Frank or Frank can call Pat. But before we do that, can we find out whether we want to regroup the next Monday? I mean, or maybe Monday week? Maybe we skip after the Monday after this Thursday or what? Preferences? Frank, Howard, Pat?
I have a conflict with an AIA call, which I have to be on.
How about the Monday after that?
That's the Monday after Thanksgiving, right?
Right. Well, that's Thanksgiving. We don't want that. Do we want to meet the Monday after Thanksgiving?
I'm good with that.
That's doable.
Yeah, I'm okay. Hang on, let me pull up my calendar. And We're talking about Monday the
30th.
I'm not showing any on the 30th yet. Wait a second, Monday the 30th?
Yep.
I think I'm flying.
Okay, please mark all your calendars. Monday the 30th will be it, and our next meeting obviously will be this Thursday.
Okay, but I've got to check. Peter, I believe that I'm flying on the 30th.
You are.
Flying is not flying.
Yeah, flying on an
airplane.
I have to look in my mail to find out exactly which day I'm coming down. Hang on.
Well, these days, if you're on the right airline, you can use Skype.
I haven't had any experience with that yet.
But it costs heavily, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. You don't want to do that. We don't want you to do that.
I have no idea when my tickets are.
Okay, let's at least tentatively set it for the 30th, and maybe from then on we resume the weekly schedule. I'm sure there are a few things that we want to sync up on before January anyway. And if we feel that we don't have a heavy agenda, then we'll go every other week. But for now, let's say November 30th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will post the email once I find out what my... Oh, here it is. Hang on.
Okay.
But what time? We'll be doing
it at
8 a.m. West Coast time?
Yes.
Okay, I may be able to come in by cell phone.
All right. Sounds good.
That flight doesn't leave until noon.
All right. Thanks, everyone.